A great day to sing a new song to the Lord, to begin worship, continue worship as a way of life. And so let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, we're just thankful for this time that you give us, this time we can spend together and look into your word. And we're just grateful for the joy that it gives us, the joy that you give us, and the hope and the peace and your promises, Lord, which are so precious. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, happy new year. Welcome to 2023. What lies ahead? God only knows. My mom used to say, God knows and he won't tell. The good news is that God does tell us some things, and some are good news, some are not so good. But in either case, we can praise him, worship him, thank him, and serve him. So may we sing a new song to the Lord this year. This is a new day and a new year. I always appreciate Brother Al's prayers. Many times he'll say, Father, I thank you for a new day. Every single day is precious. Every day we can draw closer to the Lord. And we know that we're one day closer to being in eternity with him. God's mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. So sing to the Lord a new song. Worship is a way of life. We'll be talking about praise and worship from Psalm 96, part of David's Song of Praise from 1 Chronicles 16. And the historical background on that was after the Israelites defeated the Philistines and took the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle. David put together a praise team of singers and musicians. There were trumpets, harps, cymbals, strings, instruments, and singers to praise and worship the Lord. Psalm 96 includes part of the longer praise song that's in 1 Chronicles. It is a call to worship God for who he is, for what he has done, and what he will do. We are God's people, and as such, we are to witness to the nations about God's reign as king of the universe, as did the Israelites to whom this psalm was initially written about 3,000 years ago. Some songs never go out of style. So sing to the Lord, not for ourselves or to perform, but to the Lord. It's about him, not us. And so what is worship? Well, we've got a definition here. It includes acknowledgement, praise, thanksgiving, and service. Only God is worthy of worship, Matthew 4:10. And he must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. The essence of worship is not practices and rituals, but giving one's life in attitude and action as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1 through 3. Worship is not just for church on Sunday, but a lifestyle of doing all things to God's glory. Now, there was one word in that definition that caught my attention. You notice it said giving one's life in attitude and action. Well, we can do the actions. You mean I have to submit my attitude to God too? Yeah. Our attitude is so important. And what a great attitude, what a great spirit we've had already this morning. Just grateful for the musicians to lead us in praise and worship. I just want to continue that. And so there is another slide. Let's see, this is the magic motion I'll make to go to the next slide. So worship is doing all things to God's glory. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So who are you working for on your job? Jesus. When you serve in the church, who are you working for? Jesus. When you're helping someone in your family or out of your family, who are you serving? Jesus. Worship as a way of life. Well, think slide 4, magic motion, is coming. And this is a praise-o-meter, but we'll get there. Let's see. Well, what does your worship say about your walk with God? Now, at Love, Inc., we see clients who have suffered much. Broken families, illness, death of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of stable housing, incarceration, substance abuse, mental illness, spiritual lostness, or any combination thereof. But some of them still praise God. Here's your praise-o-meter. Thank you. All right, see, one is very low. I praise God, and I'm real excited about it. 50 in the middle is like, yeah, I can praise God. It's good. It's good. And 100, that's when we're jumping up and down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, they danced before the Lord. You couldn't do that in the Baptist church. But you can do it in some churches. You can dance. Yeah. So what does your worship say about your walk with God? Well, Joseph is a man that we met at Love, Inc. He lost his wife. He went to jail. And something happened to him in jail, because when he got out, he got his three kids. And he started raising those kids. His dad was very sick. And so he had to move to Anchorage to care for his father. So a few months ago, Joseph stopped by Love, Inc. to donate some items and to say thank you for the help we had given him a few years ago. We had a wonderful conversation where he told me how God had helped him turn his life around in jail, and now he was an enthusiastic Christian. And his main concern was that his children get to know their grandfather. Joseph encouraged us all. He came back to say thank you. He was able to praise God in the middle of a difficult circumstance. He didn't get bitter, he got better. So what does your worship say about your walk with God? Go to the next slide. Slide 5. And here we have, listen to this, old Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. You ever feel like you're moving too fast, you're living too fast, you got too much stuff on your plate and you can't get it all done? There's not enough time in the day, not enough time in the week or the month or the year. Did you meet all your goals in 2022? Remember all those grand and glorious resolutions? Or maybe, like me, you resolved not to make any resolutions. That's a resolution, isn't it? Well, anyway. We may not hit all of our targets, but as long as we're trying. And just to stop, say, wait a minute, you know, that Selah that's in the Psalms, where it means to stop and consider. Think about what you've just heard. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Well, like Yogi Berra said, you can observe a lot just by watching. So what is God doing in your life? Is there any praise? What do you have to be thankful for? Gary Habermas is a distinguished professor of philosophy and apologetics at Liberty University in Virginia, and he's written many articles and books, mainly about the resurrection of Christ. Probably the best-known authority on the resurrection on that subject, other than, of course, the apostles and Jesus. Well, his wife, Debbie, died from stomach cancer, and God used his students to encourage him. They reminded him of the resurrection. And he says, I had to smile for two reasons. Number one, they were telling me some of the same things that I had told them in class. And number two, it worked. We have hope in Christ. We don't mourn like those who are lost. So let's take a look at Psalm 96, this grand and glorious psalm of praise. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, with a small g. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And so let's go to the next slide and take a closer look at the first couple of verses. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Notice the repetition of singing to the Lord. You ever been so joyful you just broke into song? Go to the next slide, please. And to tell of his salvation, remember his salvation from day to day. Well, a new song. Why is it hard to worship? Maybe we're singing the same old sad song. We need a new song. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Well, sometimes when you try a new song, you might be a little off key. Now, shockingly enough, you got good thing you guys are all sitting down. I'm learning to play the guitar. Very slowly learning to play the guitar. So I'm familiar with being off key, as in not hitting the notes right and not hitting the right notes, both. Two important things. And sometimes we do that. We play a song like, I praise you, God, that I'm not like all those other awful sinners. I sin less is not as bad, so I'm not that bad, am I? Or, God, if you only give me the things I want, then I'll praise you. I'll serve you if you just give me what I need, what I think I need. Or, oh, I've had it so hard, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Woe is me. Or maybe it's like Paul Sahasky, you know, a great musician with the Alaska String Band. I heard him playing one night, and he says, well, this next song is kind of a Christian blues song, but my life hasn't really been that tough. And so it's hard for me to sing the Christian blues when I haven't had that many hard times to go through. And so that's something to praise God for. And rejoice always. It didn't say be happy always. It said rejoice always. We can rejoice in the Lord even if we're not happy. And we can pray without ceasing. Say the devil can trip you up a whole bunch of different ways, but he's powerless against your prayers. And to give thanks in all circumstances. There's always something to be thankful for. Anybody thankful for anything today? I'll bet you are. You're in God's house. You're able to be here in the presence of God and other believers. And that's an encouragement. Go to the next slide, please. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Great is our God. What an awesome, what a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God. He is to be feared above all the gods. Now imagine the Israelites telling about what happened in Egypt. The 10 plague judgments against the false Egyptian gods. Every single judgment was a judgment. All these plagues were judgments against false Egyptian gods. Water turning to blood, frogs, lice, flies, livestock, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the killing of the firstborn children. Darkness is especially remarkable because they worshiped Ra, the sun god. And so when the power of Yahweh God, of Jehovah God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to cause darkness in the middle of the day, where's Ra, the sun god? He wasn't too bright, was he? I just made that one up. I don't know, a little humor, very, very little. Go to the next one. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Well, regarding false gods and who made the heavens, the prophet Jeremiah has something to say about that. If you go to the next slide, please. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. It says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting God, the everlasting King, an everlasting King with an everlasting kingdom we talked about last week. So he's a true God, a living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble. He said, I will shake the earth, and it's going to be shaken, and only that which can't be shaken is going to remain, and that should be our faith in him. And the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus shall you say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. So when people start talking about other gods, you can say, did your God create the heavens? Well, no, he's just kind of a super powerful guy. Well, then he's not the God, is he? He's not the real God, the capital G God. And Isaiah 44:6 adds, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. There's no God before our God. There's none above him. There's none beside him. He alone reigns. Our God reigns. We serve the living, the true and everlasting King. Hallelujah. That ought to cause you to break out in praise. Well, the next slide, we start talking about the amazing things our God has done. And there's some Greek words here that I will mangle badly when I try to pronounce them for you. But the point is, the Simeon, a sign, a miracle with an ethical end and purpose, the fingerprints of God. Remember the magicians in Egypt, when they tried to duplicate what Aaron and Moses were doing, at some point they just said, this is the finger of God. They couldn't duplicate it. Their gods couldn't help them. Their trickery couldn't help them. This is the finger of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord through the accompanying signs. Amen. This is the end of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 20. And of course, what kinds of signs and wonders did the apostles do? They healed the sick. They cast out demons. The lame were able to walk. The blind were able to see. This is the finger of God. Trickery can't do that. It's not a parlor trick. This is a revelation of the power of God. We serve a mighty God, a powerful God, King of kings and the Lord of lords. Next slide, paradoxa, more kinds of works. Really, these words are used to describe the same miracle many times. So these are strange works, contrary to opinion or expectation, unexpected, wonderful, astonishing, new miracles not seen before. Last week, we talked about Luke chapter 2, angels telling the shepherds the sign of the babe lying in a manger. That was a strange work, an amazing work. Remember the hosts in the heavens and the shepherds. This hadn't happened before. This was a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Paradoxa. Next slide. Megalia. Grand, magnificent, splendid. Great works from God's power and glory. Referred to in Luke chapter 1, verse 49, Mary's song of praise, a Magnificat, we often call it, the song of praise to God. And he's done mighty things. God has done amazing, magnificent, splendid things, allowing her to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Acts 2:11, mighty works of God spoken of on the day of Pentecost. How did all of these people who didn't speak the same language hear the gospel preached in their own language through the miracle of tongues that God gave those preachers that day for that purpose? And 3,000 were saved. Okay, the next slide is endoxa. Glorious works, the glory of God and Jesus shine forth. So in Luke 13:17, Jesus healed a woman who had not been able to stand up straight for 18 years. Can you imagine how miserable that would be? You can stand up. They're in the room now. I am standing up. Thank you. Can't straighten up. Simple thing. And Jesus healed her. And then she was able to stand up straight. Or in John chapter 11, verse 40, Jesus said to her, that's Martha, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And a few verses later, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know, he had to be specific and say Lazarus, otherwise the whole graveyard would have been messed up. So just you, Lazarus, not anybody else. And he came forth. Next slide. Thaumasia, admirable, marvelous works. Like when Jesus healed the blind and the lame in the temple. I think that's the time he did it on the Sabbath. That kind of upset the legalists. But you know what? Jesus did it anyway. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. And in Matthew 8:27, an incident similar to the one we studied in Sunday school, where they're all out on a boat and there's a big storm and Jesus goes to sleep. Of course, the disciples panicked, just like I would have, just like many people would have. And then Jesus calmed the storm. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? And they were amazed. Later, when Peter walked on water, at least a couple of steps, we don't know how far, the disciples had advanced to the point of, truly, you are the Son of God. And it's a process sometimes that people recognize who Jesus is. An incredible miracle. Well, there's still more. You're waiting for slide 17. Terada, terrifying works, such as a strange appearance in the heavens, a wonder, a marvel, something that is startling, imposing, and amazing, done to elicit a reaction from onlookers, something to be observed and kept in our memory. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, many signs and wonders regularly done. What's going to happen today when we go out and preach? Oh, I don't know. There'll probably be some more miracles. There'll be some more healings. Now, we can't schedule that. You know, there's some preachers going around saying there'll be signs and wonders in the service tonight. Well, we can't guarantee that. God does not perform on demand under a white hot spotlight to fit my schedule. But he can certainly show signs and wonders. And that's what he did in the days of the apostles. And then we already talked about Moses in Egypt. Well, how about midnight in the middle of the day when Jesus was on the cross, or the earthquake, or the graves opening up? Go to the next slide, please. Here's a terrifying work. Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 54. Now just imagine this. Jesus is on the cross. He's just said, it is finished. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's quoting Psalm 31:5. And it says, then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now that was the veil in that temple. That thing was heavy cloth. It was a couple of feet thick. No human could have torn it. And it was from the top to the bottom, you'll notice. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion saw it, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And not just the centurion. You notice that the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, they saw this earthquake. They saw the signs and wonders, these astonishing works, these terrifying works. They feared greatly. Truly, this man was the Son of God. What other promises do we have? Go to the next slide, please. The promise of a divine king. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. We serve a divine king. And notice this is the Father speaking to the Son, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and says, your throne, O God. And at the right hand of the Father is Jesus. Forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of his kingdom. So this promise of a divine king is followed by the promise of a divine kingdom. Next slide. And this is Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. Kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, Master, Savior, the everlasting kingdom. That should give us confidence. You don't have to worry about a change of management. It used to be a big thing in the state office building. There's going to be a change of management. Some new political appointee's coming in. Oh boy, he's going to turn everything upside down. All this work I've been going in this direction, he's going to make me go over here and do that. Not with God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Worthy of our worship and our praise and our service. Because he has an everlasting kingdom. And we talked about it this morning, the things which are seen are temporary, the things which are not seen are eternal. Next slide. Some encouragement from the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, that is, not as fools, but as wise. That's like a 360-degree view, circumspectly. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are the days evil now? That's just in Paul's time, right? Aren't we going towards a golden age of peace and enlightenment by our own human efforts? No, maybe not. Well, there's people in the world that'll tell you that. We just got to go all get on the same page. We'll have a one world government and a one world religion, and we'll all just live in peace and harmony because we're naturally good. We're such loving, wonderful people, ain't we? Only through Christ. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And how important is that? They say that's one of the biggest questions that people ask. What is the will of God for my life? And people are puzzled. God, was that you? Did you really say that? What's the last thing God told you? That's what you go back to when you don't remember what to do next. What did God tell you to do? Did he tell you to do something else? Well, stick with what he told you. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, there's room for hymns and contemporary songs, psalms, all the above. You can sing Psalm 96. You could sing the old rugged cross, or you could sing a new chorus. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God I don't have to thank God for everything. Oh, wait a minute. That did say all things, didn't it? So somehow I need to thank God for all things, whatever it is. Lord, I don't know why I have this pain or why I have this difficulty, but I know you've got a purpose. It's not pleasant. I don't like it, but you've got a purpose. Help me know what that is, Lord. Help me to know how to help others because of what I'm experiencing now. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. The fear of God is what? The beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. What's the difference? Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So it's one thing to know what to do, but it's another thing to actually go do it. Two different concepts. Next slide. Similarly, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. How many times do we let something else rule in our hearts? We let fear or anger or distrust or vengeance or who knows what. But if the peace of God rules in our hearts, and that's the peace of God being the umpire in our hearts, I've heard it described that way. Hey, wait a minute. Let's slow down, take a look at all this chaos that's going on and all these emotions I'm feeling, and let's go back to what did God say? Who is my faith in? What would he have me do? What's the best way to handle this? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There they are again, singing in grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so this is describing a lifestyle of worship and praise. Not just thankful for something that went well or something that made you happy, but having that joy, having that peace, having that thanksgiving. Next slide. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Interesting phraseology, isn't it? The sacrifice of praise. Is it a sacrifice for us to praise sometime? Can be. We've got to sacrifice our time. Might have to sacrifice our pride. Might have to sacrifice what I want to do. I might have to sacrifice taking the credit for something. See, I didn't do that. God did that. All I did was obey him. It had very little to do with me. I was just a channel that he worked through. Why did he choose me? I don't know. You'd have to ask him. But that sacrifice of praise to God, occasionally when it feels good, when you're in your comfort zone, when the mood strikes you. No, it says continually, doesn't it? Continually. And as we're praising God, as we're thanking God, doesn't that make it easier to deal with the storms of life? If you've got a song in your heart, like the previous two passages talked about, give thanks to God, for he is good. And what has he done for us? Let's go to slide 24. I think that's the last slide. Did I hear an amen? Okay. Amen. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, the King James says peculiar people, which is why I put New King James here. It says special. Some of us may be a little peculiar, but special, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you think about the darkness that you've been through. Weren't we all struggling at one point to try to find God? Didn't we ever feel hopeless? We felt pain and hurt and didn't have a direction, didn't have a plan, didn't know where to go. Many uncertainties. And then we get out of that darkness into his marvelous light. So I was just remembering when we went to Hawaii 20 years ago, we went to Diamond Head. And so you climb up to the top and there is this. And Helene walked through this too. Remember that little winding staircase inside the hill? And so you go in there, it is pitch black. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And then you get out on the top and there's the sun. It's so bright. And you think, what a picture of being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, it is marvelous, isn't it? You know, Jerry Falwell once said, even if Christianity isn't true, I'd rather be a Christian. We have hope, we have peace, we have joy. All these things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So great is our God, let's praise his holy name and live that style of worship and praise. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we're just so grateful for your love for us, for your mercy, for the hope that you give us, the peace and the joy that you give us, and the ability to withstand the storms of life. We know you're in control as our mighty King and eternal God and eternal kingdom that you have allowed us to be a part of. And what a blessing. Help us to be salt and light, Lord, and to proclaim your praises to others who do not know you, that they too may be in that marvelous light. And we thank you and praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.